Hey, happy Sunday. Welcome to another edition of Sunday Conversation with the Rileys. This is your boy, Gerald G. Rat Riley. And unfortunately, my co-host, who is my beautiful wife, is not here today. She's taking care of a little personal business. But anyway, from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas, welcome to our Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, entitled Back to Africa. Our special guest today is an awesome man of God and owner of an organization named Soul of My Footprints. He's my good friend. He's my buddy. I love this man to pieces. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our studio, Mr. Alfie Jenkins. Now, Mr. Alfie, could you please tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself?
Okay. As you stated, I started a nonprofit about 20 years ago called the Soul of My Footprint, and we do missionary work in Africa. Aside from that, I am a chaplain in the Army, which I'm currently still serving, and I am a business owner. So those are the three things that keep me extremely busy every day.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Alfie. Now, let's go ahead and jump on into it, Mr. Alfie, if you don't mind. That's okay with you, sir?
That's cool with me.
All right. Our Sunday conversation first question with Mr. Alfie Jenkins of Soul of My Footprints. What is the purpose or goal of Soul of My Footprints in Africa?
Well, you know, the scriptures tell us to go into the highways and byways, and that entails more than just preaching the word of God.
Right.
Know, those people that we are finding there, we have to give them more than just the word of God. You know, if they're hungry, we have to feed them. If they're sick, we must give them medication. If they're trying to go to school, we must, you know, provide them educational, you know, supplies so they can be able to do that as well. So we're just trying to be a blessing to the whole man and not just so much for the spirit only.
Awesome. Now, Mr. Alfie, my wife and I had the pleasure of going to Africa with you guys a couple of years ago. And I know for a fact that not only did you feed the villages, but you also brought shoes and medical supplies. Could you tell us a little bit about how many shoes you brought and exactly medically, what was the team that you brought over there? What were they doing to help out our brothers and sisters over there?
Yeah, we appreciate you guys coming. And you know, Ryle, I've been trying to get you to go on this trip for years.
Brother, I was scared. Yeah. I did not want to fly over that water.
A grown man was scared to fly across the water.
I did not want to.
But we all have our, you know, have something to do. But what our organization does mostly is, you know, Walmart is one of my partners. And what they do is they donate shoes all year round. And, you know, we normally take about 2,000 or 3,000 pairs of shoes.
Wow.
Every year.
Wow.
And we basically give it to children who have never worn a pair of shoes before in their life. Never.
Wow.
So what we're doing, we're just, you know, we're trying to be a blessing to those children. And also what we do is, you know, like I said, it's not enough just to give them clothing. We need to feed them too. So that year, and what we do every year is we purchase 2,000 pounds of rice, and 2,000 pounds of sugar, and we bag them up there. So we purchase the items there, the food there. We bag them up, and we're able to give a bag of rice and a bag of sugar to everyone that's in the village. And also, you know, is the medical part. For those who don't know, our organization is currently building a hospital in Africa. Is called the Soul of My Footprint Medical Center.
Okay, you're getting ahead of me now.
Center.
You're getting ahead of me, Brother Alpha. You're getting ahead of
me. Okay.
Go ahead, brother.
So it's the medical team there that we take. So, and so those are the areas, shoes, food, and medical mainly.
Wow. I really don't think some of our listening audience really understand. Unless you have been over there to Africa, you might say to yourself, you know, what's a bag of rice or what's a bag of sugar? Well, where some of my footprint goes in Africa, where they go to in Africa, it means everything to those young men and women in Africa. And so I had the opportunity when I went to Africa with you guys, Alfie, and I don't know if you remember, but we were going down the highway, and there was a lady literally crawling on the side of the road. And I remember we stopped the bus, and you got out the bus, and you gave, I believe you gave her some rice or some sugar?
Both. And mine as well.
See, I want our listening audience to understand exactly how blessed we are to be living here in the United States, because this lady was crawling down the road, and no one was helping her. It reminds me of something biblically that happened in the Bible when the man was beside the pool of Bethesda, nobody would put him inside of the pool. But that just goes to show the heart that you have for other people. And so I just like to just thank you and commend you for that. But my next question, Brother Alf, is how long have you been going to Africa? Because I took a look at a photo now. I know you, Brother Alfie, and I know you have a smooth ball. You have a smooth ball head, which is really bad for my business. And I seen a picture of you with dreads, and it blew.
Yeah, long lock.
It blew my mind. I'm like, this dude, dreads. So, how long have you guys been going to Africa, brother?
So I started going to Africa 21 years ago, and
wow,
how that happened was, you know, God just spoke to me. In a vision, he simply said, go to Africa and help my people. And I did just that. And I had talked to a friend of mine about this vision, and he had told me that he knew three people that lived in Africa. So one of the people that you met on our trip was Pastor David.
Right. He's been here.
I reached out to him. You know, I couldn't call him. He was poor. I was poor. So we were faxing each other. So I never knew what he looked like, never heard his voice. And he asked me in a fax, he said, do you want me to pick you up from the airport? And I said, sure. So got to the airport. There was a man standing up. He had a sign with my name on it. And then he asked me, he said, do you have a hotel yet? I said, no. He said, well, you come home with me and my wife. So
wow.
Got started.
Wow, man. That is amazing, brother. Now, you said you guys went to Africa. Could you tell our listeners what part of Africa that you go to?
So we go to Uganda, which is East Africa, which is right above South Africa. I often tell people that Idi Amin was, you know, the dictator of that country, which more people will know more about that.
Right.
So, that's where we go, East Africa, Uganda.
Awesome, man. That is amazing. Now, what is the name of the small city that we stay in when we go to Africa?
It's called the Jinja, Uganda.
Jinja, Uganda.
Yeah, Jinja.
Okay. Now, tell our listening audience, just in case they're listening, never been to Africa. Is Africa like what we see on TV? Is it the people with the wraps on their head and no shoes and no shirts on, just a little wrap around their waist and all that? What is Africa like?
You know, Jara, as you went for the first time, that you realized that what you read in the books, what you saw in the the movie was nothing like that.
Right.
You know, people just assume, people walking around with beards and half naked and, you know, and just, you know, they just have nothing. Even though that it's a poor country, you know, does not mean that they don't have nothing. You know, when you go to the capital of Uganda, which is Kampala.
Right.
Kampala looks like Atlanta.
It does. It really
Kampala
does.
Kampala looks like Washington, D.C.
It does.
So it does. So there's a lot of people in Africa that does have money, and everybody's just not, you know, looking like what they,
yeah,
they portray us on the films and.
You're absolutely right. I remember when we went to Kampala, I think we went shopping in Kampala.
Yep.
And we found a KFC. And man, when I tell you, never has KFC tasted so good.
So good. It's the recipe.
Hey, man, I'm talking about, man, that grease is something serious, brother. Oh, even in Africa, that grease is something serious. So, Mr. Alpha.
That was a good step one.
Bro, it was, man, but... tell us about the food in Africa. How is the food different than the food that we eat here? Because once again,
yes, I was just about to bring it up. You know, one thing, as you know, Riley, the food is very seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it tastes just like the way mom cooks it or grandmother cooks it. You know, they have all these natural herbs and natural seasons that make the flavor of the chicken taste, or not just chicken, but the food itself tastes so much different and tastes better. So when people go there, they're often surprised how good that the food is.
You're absolutely right, Alfie. I remember we took a trip in a boat down the Nile River.
Oh, yeah, sure did.
And I'm a fisherman. I fish a lot. Well, I should say I catch a lot of fish. And I remember seeing tilapia in the Nile River on the banks of the Nile. Huge tilapia. So, you know, that puts to sleep the rumor that tilapia are made up fish. But we seen the tilapia on the banks of the Nile River. And I think I ate more tilapia in Africa than I ever did in my life, because the size of those fish, man.
It's huge.
It's huge.
It can even fit on
your plate.
It's hanging off the plate.
And they don't cut the heads off of their fish. So you looking at that joker smiling at you, man. And that the taste of that fish, man, it was just absolutely amazing. Wasn't
and
it?
And the fruit are so sweet.
Oh, yes, yes.
All they do is just drop it in the ground. You know, there's no thing added, no fertilizer. It just from the earth. You just drop that seed, and as you know, the fruit come up the sweetest ever.
Everywhere, man. I remember we was in a market, and I purchased some sugar cane, man. And that sugar cane, man, looked like a tree. It was so thick. And, man, it was just amazing. Now, Brother Alfie, my next question is, how much does that trip cost? If someone is listening on air right now, how much would they have to get up to go on the trip with you guys, Soul of My Footprints to Africa, round trip, hotel, food, maybe a couple of tours shopping, how much money would they have to have?
Well, you know, Gerald, that's one of the reasons so many, well, there's a lot of people go on a trip because it's something that they always wanted to do, to go to Africa. But the other reason why so many people are able to go is because we make the trip so reasonable that anybody who, you know, has a job or can save can easily go. Like, the round trip ticket is only $2,400.
Wow.
We're in a nice hotel.
Yes.
That includes the hotel for the week. That includes your flight. That includes your transportation. So $2,500 is what the current cost. But Gerald, one thing we're doing this year that, you know, you guys didn't get a chance to do, and you know, I never had a chance to do it as well, but we're going on a safari this year.
Oh, wow, amazing.
Yeah, we're going on a safari where, you know, you get in one of those vehicles and you just begin to ride through the country. And you get to see, you know, those animals in their natural, you know, habitat.
Wow, man, bro. You making it hard to say no this year, brother.
So that's what we're doing this year. And I think every year moving forward, we're going to add that in. Because, you know, most people that go to Africa, they sort of expect to see animals.
Right.
You know? So moving forward, that's something that we'll be doing every year.
Oh, man, that is so awesome. Now, Brother Alfred, how do the people in Africa treat you?
You know, I was jokingly saying this, but when I go over there, as you probably know too, man, they treat us like rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should have showed with so much, you know, respect. And the people there, they appreciate you being there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first time, Gerald, that I went to Africa, the first time ever, one of the guys said to me, he said, why is it that black people in America don't say that Africa is home?
Right.
Why you guys don't acknowledge Africa as home?
Right, right.
And, you know, and what he said has a valid point, because there are some people that think that way. But as you know, Riley, those are ancestors, you know. You know, we are, our ancestor is from Africa, and I think that we have a responsibility, you know, knowing the condition of the people there, that we have a responsibility to go back and help as much as possible. So that's why that I've been doing this mission work in Uganda for 21 years.
You know what, Alfie, man, I never told you this, but when we landed at night.
Yep.
When we landed, I forgot the city we landed in. But when we left the airport,
Kentebbe.
What was the name
Kentebbe.
Of it? Okay, Kentebbe.
Kentebbe.
When we left the airport, I took my shoes off, and I let my feet touch the ground in Africa. And man, I promise you, man, it was almost an out of body experience. It was like something in my body said, "You're home."
Right.
Something in my body said, "This is where." Your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather
right.
and
You're
grandmother
right.
is from. I mean, it literally moved. I had a spiritual moment. It moved me when I went over there. And I tell people when I meet people, I say, man, if you ever go to Africa, it'll change your life. It'll change how you view. It'll change how you view wasting, being wasteful. It'll change how you view understanding how blessed you are. To be over
right.
here, it'll change how you view, I mean, so many things in your life. And the question I asked you, they treated me, you know, I had that big beard when I went to Africa. And if you remember, Alfred, when we was in the village and I got off the bus, it's like the Red Sea opened up because they wasn't used to seeing such a large man with a large beard. But once they realized that, you know, I wasn't a terrorist or something like that, then it was like the love. I still talk to them guys every week, Brother Alf. I still talk to them guys
hey,
Jared, every week.
Tell the people, you know, what you guys did over there and how many heads you guys actually cut for that week.
You know.
Those 3 days.
See, oh, you interviewing me now. But when my wife and I went over there, we went over there to give barber classes and teach the people in Africa how to cut hair and to set up a barbershop called Overflow Uganda, which is still in operation now. And
right.
because my background, I'm a licensed barber. My wife is a licensed cosmetologist. We gave a week class, and we taught these guys, and then they learned so quick. Most Africans are bilingual. They know two or three different languages, and so just some of the most intelligent people you ever want to meet. And so we taught these young men and young women how to cut hair. And not only did we teach them how to cut hair, we supplied the equipment, the clippers, the capes, everything they needed to start a barbershop. And every year when Alfie go back to Uganda, Africa, we re-up all the supplies they need to run their barbershop for a year. And so we don't make any money. This is just something that we just did from the heart. But Alfie, I thank you, man, because that was one of the most amazing experiences ever. You know, they still call me Big Gerald in Africa. Because I think, Alf, if I'm not mistaken, I was probably one of the biggest dudes that they ever seen over there.
Hey, when, you know, they assume that you're rich because you have to eat a lot of food to get that size. So they just assume you are a big man. You are the big man because it takes a lot of big meals.
Man.
A lot of money for those big meals.
Hey, you're right, man.
Like, he's rich. He is the man.
Well, they absolutely right. I do eat a lot of big meals, and I probably need to cut back. But look, Al.
But you guys cut hundreds and hundreds of people's heads there, right?
Yes, we did. We matter of fact, I think we burnt up 2 pair of clippers.
Sure did.
We burnt up. Sure we did. Cut so many heads over in Uganda, Africa, we literally burnt up 2 pair of clippers. But when I tell you, Alfie, man, I would have burnt
That's
up. I would have burnt up 10 pair. to get that feeling that I felt, man, knowing that we really blessed them.
We did.
Now, Alpha, you got ahead of me earlier now. Now, tell us a little bit about the hospital that you built in Africa.
So about 5 years ago, I took my first medical team.
Mm-hmm.
And they was awesome. You know, they probably seen about 300 or 400 people within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just a blessing for us. It was a blessing for the people. But what happened, Jera, was after we had finished, I said to my medical team, I said, listen, you guys have done something that is amazing. Only a few people in the world can say, hey, I went to Africa on a missionary trip.
Yes.
But then I said to them, but this is not enough. Mm. It's not enough for us to come every year where the people are sick every day.
Oh, that's powerful.
It's just not enough. I said, we can do more. And I remember telling Dr. Mayweather, that you know who Dr. Mayweather is. He's our lead
anesthesiologist
over the medical team.
Right, right.
I said, Dr. Mayweather, I said, you know what? We built a hospital. And I remember him saying, he said, man, you are very ambitious. And I said to him that I don't see myself being ambitious. I just see a need that must be met. That's all I saw. So I said, hey, we're building a hospital. So we've been building for the last 4 years. And, you know, on the buildings up, you know, the plumbing, we got lights. You know, Jerry, one thing that we did is, you know, everybody know what ACON is doing in Africa, but
right,
we're doing our part as well because we lit up a whole village. We
yes.
brought light to an entire village of people there that,
wow.
you know, never had light in the village. So we started building the hospital, and I would say we're about 80% finished with it. So we may not officially open this year. I think we will officially open next year, but we definitely will use the hospital while we're there.
Man, you know what? I was blessed to see. I think I seen you guys break ground, and I remember – the hospital's on a hill, if I
yep,
remember correctly.
Yep, it sure is.
And what does the word say about the hill? A city, a what on a hill? You remember what the word say about, I think, a city on a hill? Something can't be hidden or something like that. Maybe I need to go back to my Bible and check it out. But anyway, another question, Brother Alfie. Is this trip dangerous? Can we take kids? Do we have to worry about terrorists and stuff blowing up and all that?
All of my 20 years, I've never had a incident or accident or anything of that nature. And I also think, Jerry, one of the reasons why this trip is growing every year because people see, like, you and your wife go, have a good time, helping people, and you come back you know, fine.
Yes.
You know, all your stories are great, inspiring, and, you know, stories that may inspire other people that want to go. But, you know, Uganda can't even carry guns over there. It's against the law to carry guns.
Right.
So, you know, there's going to be danger all over the world, but what I can say with in regards to Uganda is that over the 20 years, I never, ever have had a incident over there.
Yes, yes. You know, I must say, you know, because we went over there, man, I'm prior military, and I never felt like we were in danger of anything.
Right.
Never. And you say, my wife and I, we did have a good time. But I remember the first night we were there, Bro Alfie, and we checked into the room, and there was a lizard in our room the size of a small alligator. And
the bug, man.
Yeah, listen, there was a lizard in there the size of a small alligator. And my wife, she was screaming at the top of her lungs.
What?
And
I didn't know this.
Yeah, you missed that. And she was like, I can't do this. And I had to remind her, and I said, baby, we are in Uganda, Africa. Okay, we are here on a mission trip, okay?
Right.
So you might see a lizard or two in the room. And we just laughed.
That was too funny.
Yeah, it was, man, I was rolling, man. But listen. You're a chaplain in the United States Army. How do you mix your personal business, such as Africa, with the United States Army?
Well, you know, it's the same concept, you know, in regards to the Army. You know, we are a ministry of presence.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take up our mission and go wherever the need is.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the Army does that in regards to, you know, when we have to go all across the world to fight and to uphold, you know, laws and stuff of that nature, that, you know, the ministry is the exact same way. So the Army actually did a story on me about 2 years ago.
Oh, wow, wow.
About, you know, what I do in Africa. So they are a big part of, you know, my mission over there. And, you know, so all I can say is hoorah.
Hoorah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, listen, Alpha, man, you have done such an amazing job, man. I hope our listening audience, man, was inspired and informed about what you guys do, your organization, Soul of My Footprints. And if someone was really, really motivated, Bro Alfie, how can they get in contact with you to maybe go on a trip to Uganda, Africa?
You know, they can look for me on social media under Alfie Jelks, or on social media you can look up Soul of My Footprint, or you can go to our website, www.tsomf.org. That is tsomf.org, which is the Soul of My Footprint. And we'll be sure to get back with you guys. You know, one of my purposes is to bring people over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when I used to go year after year, man, and I used to feel so bad and so sad. And it's because it was just me.
Right,
you
right.
You know, there was so much work there that was needed, and it was just me and 2 50-pound suitcases. And, but over the years, you know, we're from 12 to 23. And this year, we have 44 people going, whereas last year we took 22.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that I'm excited that people want to go and to do their part in giving back.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Mr. Alfie Jacks, man, I can't thank you enough, man. You have really been informative, man. I pray that our listening audience was inspired by your story. This is Riley and Katasha, Sunday Conversations, back to Africa with Alfie Jacks. Peace.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.